Hey there, welcome to Sauce and Bomb Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dana, Head of Growth at Sauce Group, serial acquirer buying wonderful sauce businesses to take them to the next level. And here I chat with inspiring founders and experts to get an inside scoop on how they made their business a success. And today with me, Shannon, CEO of UserSnap, a visual feedback and bug tracking platform, and also one of our brands at Sauce Group. So really excited to see you here.
Hey, Anna, thanks so much for having me today.
Sure, absolutely, anytime. And, you know, before we get into UserSnap and what you guys are doing, you've joined us fairly recently. We know very little about you and we want to know more. So let's dig into your background.
Sure. So I've had kind of a winding road. I started as an engineer. I moved into UX and UI. I was like, maybe I'll be a designer. Maybe I'll try that. And then I decided really project and program and products were the things that I really loved. I loved seeing it all come together. And so that's kind of been a great path for me to take on this road to CEO and product leadership here at UserSnap, because I can leverage all that background and things that I learned from all those different roles that I was traversing into what I'm doing today. So I feel like at the time it was pretty scary, because I was like, I need to land somewhere. I need to feel like I fit in a box. And I just couldn't really find a box that I was fully fitting into. And now I feel like this is perfect, because then I get to kind of leverage all of that stuff in one place. And it gives me a deep connection to a lot of my staff. So really like where I landed and how I got there.
That's awesome. How about the, you know, the bigger box? Like, how did you end up with Sauce Group in the first place? And, you know, how was your journey to us?
So I initially applied for a different role. I was looking for a CPO role because I'm just product person at heart, really love it. And I was like, oh, I really want to do this work. So I applied for something, but there wasn't quite enough people management. We had a great interview with Sauce Group. I was really excited about it. And I was like, the only sort of downside is that there's not that much staff to take care of. And that's really another piece of this work that I love, is getting to connect with the people and steward their careers and help them along the way. So when this other opportunity came up, first I was kind of, they said, no, this looks like it's not a fit for you because it doesn't have what you're looking for. And I was like, yes, I agree. And then this other opportunity came up and my heart started pounding. I was like, could I be a CEO? Can I do this? So there's like this sort of natural doubt that instills every time that I try something new. But I decided to go for it. And they were really happy with the interview process. It was included a case study and all kinds of other things that I really loved and really enjoyed doing. So I felt like, okay, if I'm loving just the case study this much, just wait till you get into it. And it was really not a disappointment. So kind of went through the side door through a different job and heard about this one from having applied for something else. But very happy that I ended up taking this one because of the leadership and the impact. And I realized this is much more suited to me even than what I thought the CPO role was going to be. So I love it.
That's awesome. All right. I'm really happy to hear that. And what excites you about UserSnap? Because, you know, we also fairly, you know, a recent acquisition for us. You know, UserSnap has been with us a little over a year. And, you know, great team. Love the founders too. They've stayed for as long as they could. And I know why I love UserSnap. Why do you?
There's so many things that I love about this tool. First of all, it is just at the core of something I really believe. I think in order to make something the right way, you have to talk to the people who need it. If you're not directly having that connection with them, you're gonna miss the most important part of the conversation, what they care about. And where they struggle and where they are succeeding and why all those things are happening. So this is really at the very basis, the foundation of doing good product, and especially SaaS, especially B2B, where we have such a hard time finding the people, talking to the people. UserSnap cuts through all that struggle and just makes it possible for you to say, you just did this thing, you just did this thing. Actually, maybe we can ask you a question, or maybe we can connect with you on some point. And it's so unintrusive and natural to capture the audience at the moment when they're doing something. I find it much more intuitive than like an email campaign, or like most companies are doing email NPS. I'm not a big fan of NPS anymore because I feel like it's a little hard to interpret and also not very clear in its intent. But I think if you're gonna at least do some sort of are you happy question, do it in the moment when they're doing a thing. So I love that UserSnap is so connected to the user feedback cycle in each stage of its product development. I love that it's in the moment and not disconnected from their experience. And I also love that it's very simple and it's very easy to set up. So those are the things when I was looking at this tool and trying to say, like, do I want to lead this tool? It was a resounding yes for me because I was so excited about what I could actually do to push forward the product world with a tool like this.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. And you know, we also, we met, I think, what, like a week, 2 weeks after you joined us, and you really like hit the ground running. Like you went right away into one of our events and you were at B2B Rocks in Paris. And it felt like you've always been with us, honestly. I just saw you like doing your things and, you know, talking to people and talking UserSnap. And I was like, okay, well, I love the energy. So it really seems like, you know, you're excited about this journey and, you know, you know what you want to do. So yeah, what about, you know, this first, I think what has been like 3 months, something
yeah,
like this.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Today might be my 3 month anniversary here.
Like, yes. Okay. I do have a bottle of champagne in the kitchen.
You're so friendly.
We can pop the cork. But yeah, what are you most excited so far? Like this first month. And like I said, I already saw a few things that you were doing. It's kind of like you're at the right place at the right time. So what has been the most like cool thing that you've done so far?
So the most fun for me has first of all just been able to talk to product people all day long about product all day long. This is so fun for me. I love it. So getting to have those conversations, and I went to several events and just tried to connect with as many PMs as I could. What's your pain point? Why is it so? What would you want done about it? These conversations are just gold when you're trying to find solutions in the product ops space. So we really loved getting to connect with users directly. I used our own products to do our own research. So that was kind of cool. We did our first tests with users and uncovered those pain points and found out that 30% of our respondents all struggle in the discovery space. So that was a great aha moment coming directly from our own tools. I felt really, really excited and maybe even a little bit proud. Like I can use my own tool to get my own job done. And now we're using it in a broader space to develop strategy. And kind of in each of this stage of our life cycle, we're going to be trying it out and using our own stuff to really build great products. So that's a big win for me. I also was pretty excited about some of the recent things that the team launched. They had 8 launches last quarter. And I was just like, wow, for a team of our size, we're not huge. We're an SMB. So I was really proud of the team's commitment to delivering good features. They were also very baked. So I was happy about that. So we had conditional logic, editing, sort of brand customization things that we put into place. You know, fun, adding videos and GIFs to our products, and just bringing a little bit of whimsy into that really speaks to me as a former meme queen myself. And maybe the most exciting thing was the announcements and changelog feature, like seeing them bring to market something that talks directly to users and creates not just a, we want to ask you a question, but now we want to have a two-way conversation. We want to tell you something. And it centralizes the conversation with the user in a new way that we hadn't yet broken ground on. So pretty excited to see that stuff all happen all in one quarter.
That's fascinating. You know, we have Dirk as a king of memes, and now we have you. Awesome. We got a set now.
The monarchy is forming.
So happy about this. But yeah, it's almost like you started from scratch. It's almost like you went to the whiteboard again and started like seeing the opportunities there.
Yeah, you're right. We did. We started really from the beginning, like which markets, because we're so broad in our feature set, we could have really gone into several markets. We could be in the voice of customer, we could be in QA, but we really decided in the end, we're most interested in being in the entire life cycle because that's where there's continuous value. And when you are continuously bringing value to people as a strategy play, your stickiness is better, your retention is better. So we decided to be in the product ops space for that reason. And when we started looking at this, we said, okay, do we have today in our strategy the right pieces in place to talk about this? And we decided, no, we don't. We have some stuff to do. The former founders did a great job building this product. I'm especially proud of our tech team and how well and how clean this product is. It's one of the least tech debt infested products that I've ever worked on, actually. So it really impacts us in terms of our time to value, and I'm glad that we're able to churn more solutions out thanks to that clean tech space. But what I'm really excited about is that we were able to sort of use Usersnap to craft from the very beginning. So, like, which markets should we be in? What do we think about those markets? How do we validate those markets? How do we validate jobs to be done and pain points during this process? And I think that that's something that a lot of our own target audience, our ICP, really struggles with. So being able to use our own tools and systems to learn about our potential in our position and in our strategy has been a real plus. And I think it's step by step, we're learning how we want to change our own product to help other people do this as well. So it's been a nice sort of let's take it back to basics, look at our strategy and look at our market and look at our how to win in that market. Where do we play? These are really interesting questions for product leaders.
And just by the way you're talking, I feel like you're a big fan of Jobs to Be Done.
I am. And I actually got to meet Bob Moesta, who is like,
Yeah.
the former voice that champions this process. And if there's one thing that being in product work for almost 20 years has taught me is that empathy is key. You have to care. And you have to show that you care by listening and talking with your target. So, Jobs to Be Done is core to that function. It's about finding out where, how does their work work? And where do they look at those points, those milestones in their processes and in their workflows and say, "Arr, this is hard. I hate it." And how do you bring joy to that step? And that is how you go from being a nice to have to a critical. In terms of product and positioning strategy.
Yeah, that makes great sense. You said you were you started going back to the basics and doing the user interviews. Can you maybe share like a couple of facts that really like were on point and really pushed you guys towards a certain decision?
Yeah, now I gotta think. Okay, so first of all, we were pretty exploratory in our questions. I wasn't sure like what the response was going to be. I knew how I felt, but all good scientists want to get real data and not just make assumptions based on their own biases. So I was like, all right, let's ask some questions about just what's your biggest pain point today as a PM. And when I was on site doing the interviews, I was using Usersnap to like answer the questions and plug it into our system so I could tag and bag it later. And I think the one that excited me and surprised me the most was about the segmentation. So when we had really large companies and we said like, what's your product stage and what's your size and stuff like that, a little bit of segmentation is necessary to get good data. The really big ones all seem to have these like politics problems. And even though I wasn't surprised by that because I've worked in companies with tons of politics before, not like here, it's great. There's like no politics. I love it. Chef's kiss. But in other places, the larger it is, the more it's like, I need to get alignment and I need to get everybody on board before you can make any sort of move on your chessboard, right? And that was interesting to see. But the reason why people felt like they needed to do that was because they lacked a tool for alignment. And I was like, well, how easy is that to solve? So that was a delightful moment for me. Because I was like, well, you could just run an internal survey and have your answers in 24 hours, and it's totally objective. How nice is that? I even use it to run anonymous surveys in my own teams. It's a great way to allow people to have a voice and to be free to tell you what they really think. without any sort of, oh, am I going to be judged for this situation? So I encourage that for PMs who really want to get real feedback and who want to apply the mom test. If you haven't read that book, go read it. And this is a great tool for that. So that was one big surprise to me, is that politics and sort of bigger companies can have their problem solved really easily. And then on the smaller side, people who are just getting started, or there was a very large cohort of people who said that their biggest problem was finding the right problem. So discovery is still an emerging field for so many people. And that what surprised me about our data was that even the established companies said that was a pain point for them. I would expect companies that are in late stage and are very large not to have so many questions around how they de-risk their projects. And yet it was still a pretty big problem for those groups. So we're still running the survey. And if you want to be a part of it, maybe in this podcast, you can bring a link to it. But there's definitely opportunity to keep learning. But those two things really stood out for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think last year, we also had a similar report from Usersnap and got a lot of attention. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys are researching about this year. But on that, like, while we're riding that wave, is there any trend in product that you're really excited about and maybe are also bringing it to Usersnap?
Yeah, I think that there are some trends. I mean, if we look at what's going on in the world, like ChatPRD just had its 1 year anniversary. So like everybody wants to get on the AI train, and that's pretty typical. See a lot of people trying to do AI discovery, and a friend of mine, Caitlin on LinkedIn, is doing some good studies in that right now. I'm trying to remember what she's doing exactly, but she's doing some good, like, how do we do AI for discovery? I think that that's an emerging trend that is interesting. Using it in order to evaluate the convergences is, I think, good. So you can use it for RAG, you can use it for LLM even in making some suggestions. I think that it's not well done yet. And I think part of the reason why is because there are a lot of LLM-based solutions, which means that they're taking the general collectivity and using that as a driver for recommendation. And product is kind of special, I think. So when you're working in product, you want to orient your feedback based on some level of product sense. And I think that that's really hard for large language models to replicate product sense as well as like a real person can today. So when I look at the solutions that are out there using AI, I think that that is interesting, but not always very accurate. So there's ways to improve it, but I do see a lot of people trying to do it and learning about it. And I do think that there's a lot more that we can learn about that space.
Any plan to maybe just experiment, just maybe even internally with AI in Usersnap?
Yeah, I have a few ideas cooking. There's some stuff that I would really like to do. The difficulty in this, and something that was really, I was grateful to attend, conferences that talked about it and meetups that talk about it, because what I learned is that it's not necessarily very linear in terms of your progress. You might learn some things, and then you might next week unlearn it because something changed in the model or your algo or the target audience, right? So there's some chaos. And if there's one thing that product doesn't really like, it's chaos. We like to see the numbers slowly go up. And sometimes when you're working in AI, that's just not the case. You're going to see some differentiators, and then you kind of have to be like, okay, why did this happen? So I think that that's something that is a challenge to be, recognized if we're going to move into that space more than we already are today. And there are some things that I want to do, but I will save that for later because we're still hatching some of those strategic plays and I don't want to give away the game plan. But I do think that there's a real problem of the accuracy of analysis today. I don't think it's reliable. I don't think it's very interesting. And I think that that is a space where we could do a lot of improving today.
Okay. Well, we have this amazing AI team at SaaS Group. So, there is always a lot of help in that department. I'm always very, very curious what they have going on. So, you know, I see there's like so much potential for every brand at South Group. So yeah, maybe.
I'm in the channels. I'm watching. I know. There's been even a few times. This is the nice thing about being in SaaS Group too, is that I can be a leader of a smallish business, but at the same time, I feel like I have this umbrella of talent kind of around me. And when I want to ask them questions about finance or about strategy or about our potential directions and objectives, or even about AI, there's already a group sort of dipping their toes in that water and can tell me how warm it is or where I need to watch out. So it's nice to have the safety net and still have the freedom to drive things myself.
Absolutely. 100% agree. I'm also lurking in like all the channels where I don't really belong, like, you know, a little bit of product and a little bit of AI. And, you know, it's great. I think in a way that, you know, we all are kind of aware of what everybody else is doing. So it's easier to see the synergies, to see where you can go to another brand and say, hey, you know what, you're working on this. We were thinking about it. Like, can we do it together? Do you want to like explore? So this is a great advantage.
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
There was even a key example of that. Like as a business, one thing that I want to do a good job of is make sure that we're secure, compliant, and all that stuff. These are not sexy topics, okay? People don't get excited when you say, hey, let's work on our security this quarter, which I do every single quarter. So this is not something that generally excites people and that they sort of all rally around. But when I brought this topic to a channel of brand leaders, I said, I think we should talk about security and compliance together. What are your credentials and how did you get them? And in what situations did you feel like they were really necessary? And in which situations did you go, could have done without? Those conversations are gold because you can really learn a lot about where you want to go. And there was immediately like support and interest to form a smaller group that would talk about it and share, you know, learnings back with the bigger group. Starting to centralize our knowledge and learnings around those things has been a really great way for us to save time and energy as a small business too. So I really like the idea of leveraging the collective brain power and experiences of this bigger group in order to help me pilot my business. And I've been a mentor for a couple of other people in the group who's just pulled me aside and said, hey, how did you do this? Or how did you do that? And I have knocked on a couple of doors as well. So I think everybody benefits in that situation. It feels almost like you've got this little hive mind of people who are willing to share their knowledge with you. And we all know that it's for the betterment of everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, while we're still on this topic, and we'll come back to UserSnap in a moment, but you also dedicated some time to us and to share your knowledge because you're very prominent in the, you know, women in tech, women in product kind of initiative. So thank you so much for this. And I've heard amazing feedback, honestly. And, you know, it lives in our secret Notion page where we can watch all the sessions, all the internal sessions that we have at SaaS Group. But while we're on that note, and you know, SaaS Group is still, let's be very honest about this, is still very male dominated, just as the rest of the tech industry and SaaS industry. So you had this amazing webinar presentation for us about women in leadership. Maybe you know, just a very quick recap, or maybe just a piece of advice for all the CEOs, women in SaaS, how to, you know, how to create that momentum, how to make sure you're heard and seen, and you know, how to navigate it.
Cool. I love talking about this. I never get bored talking about this topic ever, mainly because just so many years of mentoring, and I always hear the same sad story. I feel like I'm doing good work, but I can't get anywhere. I can't get ahead in my career. What am I doing wrong? And it comes down to two things for me. You're either not doing the right work, three things. You're not doing the right work. That could be. You're not talking about it in the right way, or you're in the wrong place. I think one of those three things is usually the problem, because the people that I mentor, very, very rarely are they not doing a good job. That almost never happens. Usually people seek out mentorship or support or training because they care so much about doing a good job. So these are not generally underperformers that we see in these situations who are struggling. So the interesting part for me in these conversations is figuring out which problem space we're dealing with. So wrong place, usually there are behavioral things that you can look at. Like I get great internal reviews from peers, but leadership is like, it's not working. And you don't know why, you don't get any good reasons. That's a really clear sign you're in the wrong place. If you're not maybe talking about it in the right way, it could be that your boss recognizes your work is really well done, but nobody else knows. And so those promotions just pass you by, or those opportunities pass you by to be a leader in your space. And on the first one, if you're not doing the right work, then that can be pretty obvious in a few ways. By the first two, obviously, like nobody sees the work, nobody cares about the work. It just seems to go unnoticed. Even though you're talking about it, even though people see it, everyone's kind of like meh about it. Maybe you're just not doing the right impact work in order to like make a difference. And so we ask people to think about their workloads in these ways, and to consider how their work makes an impact on the business, because that's what will get you noticed and that's what helps you grow. Another thing that I talk about a lot is the communication aspect. I notoriously had bad communication, apparently, in certain times of my career. Maybe some of those were wrong places, but sometimes I know I had communication learnings to do. And one thing that really helped me is trying to find more sound bites in my presentations. Things that really are memorable. They get to a major problem. They talk about a major insight, something that people really care about, and they're short and snappy. And if you start to master that kind of communication, your impact will grow. So I think those are all really important things.
Okay, those are great. Well, you know, I'm yet to, because the presentation you were giving was very, very late my time. So I'm yet to watch the full version, but man, I'm looking forward to it. It's like, yeah. All the rant about it, it was powerful.
So I'm really moved that people liked it so much. That's great. Yeah. To hear. And if you want to see the short version, I mean, I gave like an hour long version for our internal folks, but there's a short version. It's only 30 minutes. That's on my LinkedIn that I gave for 50 in tech. But this one, I gave LinkedIn. Kind of a combo. It was like how to be a good leader and how to communicate well. I was like, let's do both.
Boom.
So ours is a bit better. The private version is better.
Yes.
The public version is out there if you want it.
Oh, right. Yeah, send me the link. I'm happy to share it too. Because, yeah, it's an important thing to talk about. And I'm really glad that we also have these initiatives within the group. So, yeah, let's get back to user snap. Because, yeah, like you said, there is a lot more coming, and you know, you've got a stellar team, honestly, like love the team. And I know that you're probably hiring too, so you're expanding.
Yeah, we are. So we're looking for a designer right now. We're looking to go in-house freelance, someone who wants to do it all is kind of what we're looking for. Because we see a lot of roles right now that are doing mainly product design, but we were having to, you know, outsource that with some like marketing design and website design and stuff like that. So we're like, well, let's just get one person to do all of it. Somebody who doesn't want to only do product design. So that's something we're recruiting for. We're getting a lot of interest in that role. So if you're interested in it, you can find me on LinkedIn. send me your portfolio. That's great. So just a little publicity for our open position right now. We are also promoting internally. There's going to be some internal growth for positions, which I'm very excited about. So really important as a leader that we invest in our own team and see them grow into leadership and not just like in title, but in activity. And from a company standpoint, we're really looking to shift. We want to move away from just being seen as like QA or, you know, survey into something that really helps you explore and converge on your product insights at every stage. So that's where we're really going next. So a lot of this research that we've been doing around our strategy and the market and the competition has been oriented around where are we able to solve a problem that nobody else can solve and how do we test it? So what's up next for us is mainly things that help show our time to value a lot faster because we're a PLG company. And in product-led growth, the thing that you want is people to feel value as soon as possible. So that's what most of our Q4 delivery is all about. And in Q1, we're really going to start shifting gears into a new strategic position, which I cannot unveil yet. But when we do announce, people will see a dramatic shift in our marketing and the way that we talk about our products. We're already testing some of these things now to see how the market responds, but a full-scale shift will happen for us in H1, going in a new direction in order to provide critical value that isn't as copyable and is pretty underserved in our market. So that's what we're excited to do next. Now, what's happening in the feedback space is it's just very one direction. It's a company saying, tell us something about you. And I find that whenever you're working with a customer, it's not great to just be asking for yourself all the time. You have to give back as well. I think that that is the unsung hero in feedback, is being able to collect something, but also provide that insight about what it means. And so I think that's really where I want to take UserSnap next. I want to take us out of the, here, you tell me something space, and into the, and I'll tell you something in return. I want it to be a give and a take. I want us to be reciprocal in the way that we work with our customers and our users. And I think that that's something not well done in the business today. So I think at UserSnap, the most important thing for us will be to answer the why this and why now. I think those are the things that bring confidence to product teams when they're trying to make decisions. Having a clearer understanding of that is what will make you more successful in your product endeavor.
All right. Well, super. Like I said, it's going to be an exciting quarter, at least from what I can say for UserSnap.
Years, I think.
Yes. I think okay.
Maybe something people don't know about strategy work, if you're breaking into it or if you haven't done it before, is that it's not a linear process. Okay. Strategy is very much like products. You try some stuff and you see if it works. You pick a market and you see if the marketing works. You pick a problem space for that market and you see if it's important enough to them. But it's very much at the core of product. You have to pick a direction, make a hypothesis, try something, and then evaluate if it works and iterate on it if it does show promise. Strategy work is actually no different. And so it'll be something that may take a while to really find its footing, especially in a situation like this. We have so much history and so much that we can draw from, which opens a lot of doors for us of how we want to leverage all that IP and all that functionality, right? So we have a lot of places that we could go, which makes it actually harder to do strategy. I think Bob actually also said people like to have three choices because you can eliminate easier than you can debate between two. So in our case, we maybe have a lot more than three choices, which is on the other end of the spectrum of difficulty of deciding, is like when you have so many spaces, how do you pick the one that you want to focus on? So that actually explains a little bit more why research and feedback is so important, because it helps you remove the opportunities that are in front of you in those cases. So as much as we want to try to make things simple and bring a clear choice with strategy, we have to accept it's a winding road of learning, and you have to have a growth mindset as you go through it. You have to be willing to take five doors and eliminate two and then eliminate a couple more and try and pick one to go through and then see if it works. And that's at the heart of strategy work. It's It's just not something that happens in 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the spirit. You know, you have a plan for 2 years, so that's that's even better. But yeah, okay. So walk me through, you know, the process of who you are selling to and like who would benefit the most from UserSnap and who is maybe not really a customer you were targeting. Like you would be happy to say no to them.
Sure. I think right now what's interesting about our product is we seem to be in every single segment. We have like SMBs all the way up to major enterprise customers. And so we kind of looked at that first and we're like, where do we want to be? Where's the cursor? And we went with mid-market to start as a focal point for the strategy right now, because that's where the bulk of our customers are. They're mostly in that middle zone. And it also means that you can make things that are a little bit harder to build because the return on investment will be there. Whereas if you're working down market, you have to go for the long tail. And that means a lot of marketing bucks and a big, you know, broad campaign to try and get as many as possible in. And that's not really our strategy right now. So we're talking to mid-market a lot more. We're trying to target problem spaces in the discovery a lot more because we just think it's harder. It's where there's the least amount of education right now, if my sources are correct. And we think that there's a lot of good opportunity to be prescriptive in that space and really help people find their footing. So I think our target is much more people who are experienced, but want to improve. They want to do better and they want more confidence in the choices that they are making and in the strategies that they are employing. They want more direct conversation and connection that is easy and well-timed and just really getting the user at that moment where it makes sense to connect with them instead of what a lot of other places are doing and where I think we differentiate, which is in that sort of after the fact, what did you think about whatever? It's way too late to ask that question. Do it while they're in the moment and you'll get a much better response. So getting that connection, I think, is really where we want to see some of this growth happen in discovery. So that's why we're trying to position for the customers who need that, who are trying to develop the conversation and who want to reach out when it makes sense and not just when it suits them.
Perfect. All right. Thank you for walking me through this. So I just have a couple more questions, right? The usuals here, you probably know what they are. So I know it's been just 3 months, but so far, you know, and it can be anything, team, your integration into SaaS group, you know, having access to central teams, whatever, biggest win and the biggest failure.
So biggest win, I think I'm most happy with the fact that we feel like we've found a real problem to solve. We found a real pain point and it keeps on getting confirmed. And that's also reassuring. I think I go back to this confidence question a lot, but I feel confident that we've touched on something really good because so many people keep on telling us, yes, that's the thing that I'm most worried about. And so being able to use UserSnap to guide UserSnap has been a big win for me. Like, drinking our own champagne is nice. It gives me confidence in the direction that we're going and why we're going that direction, because I'm solving my own problems with it as a product person. And I think the biggest failure maybe was taking too long to make some of these strategic decisions. We started to see convergence on some of these things in the research pretty quickly. And I think we spent a lot of time like questioning ourselves, like, is this going to work? And could that work? And I don't know about this. In the end, what I've learned is that strategy doesn't get confirmed in the boardroom. It gets confirmed after several months of usage. You see how people respond when they are using your strategy in the market. So I would say not doing so much talk and a little bit more action. I know it's only been 3 months and maybe some people are like, whoa, that's soon. But for me, it feels like a long time. I would have brought more of these things maybe to market faster in hindsight and tried to do more of these proof points. You can do landing pages, you can do beta signups, you can do cabs, you can do even like looking at your SEO placement and where are the interesting keywords and why are they so, can give you good insights into these things. And sometimes you don't need to only talk to users, but you can use lots of those other methods in addition to talking to users. So talking to users is great. It's the key, it's the core, it's that foundation. But to go to market a little bit faster, I probably would have done a few other validating steps to get that strategy validation going sooner.
All right. And yeah, the last question is always about a hack, right? And again, it can be anything, women in leadership, your role, anything that works for you.
So I think I'm going to talk to the founders out there and to the people who are doing product work and who are trying to find their fit. Stop talking to each other. Start talking to your users. I see way too many people making assumptions. I know my users. I know what they think. No, you don't. Sorry to tell you, you don't. Go talk to them if you want to know. And maybe try UserSnap to do that. But I think really it's the most important thing that you can do as a leader is be a listener.
Loving the shameless plug. So thank you.
I mean, it's true. It's true. I believe it. It's not just about my own. Why do you think I joined UserSnap? I believe this so strongly. I'm like, that's the company for me.
That's the one. Okay, that's great. You know, no, like I said, loving the energy, loving the, you know, how you came to us and kind of just, you know, swooshed through and, you know, started doing what you're doing. So great. Amazing. So thank you so much for, you know, walking me through what UserSnap is doing. I was very, very curious what you're going to do. And yeah, so far, super exciting. So thank you so much for, you know, for the tips as well and for your time dedicated to the entire group. And happy to do it again sometime when, you know, there are more new things happening with UserSnap.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk more about the conclusions that we make and how we got there. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation that we'll keep you posted on.
Okay.
How we go about the steps of our strategy is interesting to think about and maybe even poke holes in retrospectively. But I think it's also really interesting, like, where did we land and the why behind it, I think, is going to be a fun conversation to have more. So look forward to sharing more about how did we do strategy revamping 101? Like, what did that look like and what were the steps and where were our struggles? Because we do have struggles like everyone else. These will be interesting conversations, I think, for the future, too. We'll keep you posted on.
Perfect. More content. Loving it. So thank you for your time. And yeah, let's get back to it.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Anna. Have a great day.
Thank you. And take care.
That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders, and if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group, a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.